This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Readers Entertainment Radio, and I am Patricia W. Fisher here talking to you about books and authors and everything that's wonderful. And we're super excited because today we have a return guest, Nagin Pat. Now, tell me how to say your last name again. I will forget.
Poffin.
Thank you. Nagin Poffin. She was born and raised in Southern California, where she currently lives with her husband and two rambunctious boys. She wasn't always a writer. She's a graduate of a USC Dental School, and she spends half the week now with her patients and the other half in front of that laptop, and we are super glad that she does. In the little time she finds in between, she plays with her boys, goes wine tasting with her friends, and check out her Instagram because she's got fabulous pictures of all that. She throws lovely parties and relaxes with her family. Her newest release, Forbidden by Destiny, is now on Amazon, iBooks, and Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and you can find her also at her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All of those links are in the write-up of the show, so please welcome to the show, Miss Nagin. How are you, my dear?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So you came on several months ago, and we're talking about your first book, Forbidden by Faith. So let's do a quick review of that one, because now we have the second book of the series. So tell me a little bit about your first one.
So Forbidden by Faith is a story that follows a couple in their early 20s. They're both Iranian. That's kind of my thing. So it's Sada and Mazyar. They fall in love with each other. But the obstacle that they face is that Sada is Muslim and Mazyar is Jewish. And they have to find a way to navigate that and still try to be together. And the families are very uncooperative when it comes to that.
So right.
That's their love story, yeah.
Okay, and then it just hit bestseller status in a few different pockets there.
Yes, it did. It did. It was very fabulous.
And so what does it feel like to have that little flag up that says bestseller on your book list?
I don't know. It's kind of surreal. It changes so dramatically. So I had to snapshot the page where it showed that there was a couple of them that were number one, because I'm like that one moment in time, when it did that. Because Amazon is constantly updating, you're constantly moving. So I took a picture for myself so I can remember.
Good. Keep that for safekeeping. And when you started writing, we can go back to this. When you started writing, was that on your bucket list for writing, or was it just to finish your book?
It was not on my bucket list. I actually didn't have a writing bucket list, to be honest. I really wrote Forbidden by Faith just because I wanted a creative outlet and I wanted something to do. And I'd always done some form of writing growing up, and I had lost touch with started writing Faith. I didn't even dream of having it get into anyone's hands, maybe a few friends, but it was really just something therapeutic for me, it felt necessary. I think your bucket list is ever changing when you become an author, right? So it's first,
right,
finish the book, and then it's let's get it out there and see what people think. And then it's let's get it published. And then, so I think it's continuous,
Right.
So once it got published, I was like, oh, I'd love to see, a pretty little number one somewhere, but that's, I think it's ever changing. So it wasn't originally on a bucket list. I didn't even really have one.
Well, so you were always a writer, whether you wrote journals in your journals or just, short stories or what have you. But what was the catalyst that made you say, I think I really want to write a story, a full book? What was that?
The catalyst actually was very unexpected. I had been in a place where, which I think all women can identify with, where we become someone's wife, we become someone's mother, we become someone's sister and someone's daughter, and we just lose touch of ourselves. And so I had hit this point a few years back where I just felt like there was nothing that was just mine, that belonged to just me. And so I was searching for something. And I had some friends who, you know, were really supportive of that and trying to, you know, find outlets for me and whatnot. And one night we were all just sitting outside and I was telling a story about something, you know, that had happened. And I'm very animated when I speak. So my hands are going, my face is all kinds of expressions. And so when I finished, her husband said, you know what, Nikki, you should write a book. And I just laughed it off. And but he was like, you really tell stories. Like, I feel like I'm watching a movie, like I could see it, you know? And I mean, that kind of just was a little, you know, a little tickle in the back of my mind. And after a week or two, I just kind of, it kept brewing. And I thought, you know, why not? I remember being young and writing novels, you know, in my notebooks and stuff like that. Why not actually try and see what happens? And so I did.
And what was the process? So you wrote your story and then what? Because a lot of people do this. They're like, okay, I wrote the book. And now what do I do? So how did you get from finishing the writing, typing or writing the end to being published by Owl City?
So I, you know, I was really clueless with the whole process, but I was lucky enough that my sister-in-law, she writes children's books and was really active in that community and was trying to get her children's books published. So she was the one who told me that you have to, you know, get it in tip-top shape and then you have to try to query for agents and publishers and all that kind of stuff. So she kind of guided me through that. I mean, after I finished, she was one of the people who beta read for me or critiqued it, I guess. And, you know, she tore up that story when she handed it back to me. It was printed out in a 3-ring binder and it was completely red. And I looked at it and I was like, I'm throwing this away. I'm done. This is it. We're done.
But
she was very encouraging and said, you know, she's not a romance reader. So she said, take it all with a grain of salt, but I'm looking more at structure and storyline and plot lines and just read it and see what feels right. And so because of that, I rewrote about a quarter of it, a third of it. I rewrote it.
Sure.
And then once I got that all nice and cleaned up, then I started researching, figured out how to query, did that, had her help me like clean that up. And then I just sent it out and, you know, and onward we went with rejections until City Owl picked me up.
Right. And so tell me, how many rejections did you receive before you got the yes?
So I was actually pretty lucky because I think that my content for Faith was very relevant at the time. So I had quite a few people request pages and actually get it in front of them. So I didn't have a whole lot of rejections. I had about like 20, before City Owl came through. And I mean, I know people have way more than that. So I find myself to be really lucky.
Right. And, you know, you say 20 and I'm kind of laughing. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. and it's interesting because some people would be like, 20, are you kidding me? Why would you keep doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's definitely,
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. I think that, you know, the rejections will never get easier. I don't, you know, it's really, really tough. And, you know, they always say you have to have a thick skin in this, you know, business and whatnot. But it's hard. And I think the entire process, even after you're published, there still is a lot of rejection. Not everyone's going to love your story, you know, and you kind of have, you know, you have a sort of hierarchy of in your own mind of like, you know, for instance, readers, if they don't like it, certain people feel a certain way, but if like trade reviewers don't like it and you know what I mean? You kind of just have this whole sort of scheme in your head and you're just like, oh my God, you know, these people all loved it, but that person hated it. And it's just, it's really, really tough. There's been times I've wanted to throw in the towel and be done. I'm not going to lie.
Right. And what I found is with my very first book, I thought, and I think a lot of us do this, you know, we have the best voice and the story is wonderful and we people have bought it and they want to see it. And then you put it out there and the first bad review you get, it's hard to take.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know, you write more, you keep going, you realize, you know, not, you can't make everyone happy. And now I'm to the point where I don't even look at them. I used to be sad for like a week, and now I'm sad for like a couple of minutes. And I'm like, eh, okay, whatever. I have my mom's kind of the guard of that. She'll say, did you see that review? And I'm like, no, I don't even look at it. Well, I'm going to say something. I'm like, there's no point.
I love that. What a good mom.
I know.
Yeah.
But you do. You need those.
I don't read mine either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because you just have to, like you're saying, you write the story because it gives you your voice and your storytelling, and people, the people who do love it really love it. But I don't know if you do this. Even when I send my book in that's been requested and my editors looked at it, and we're doing final copies and they're saying fix these little things, and you hit submit, I still feel physically nauseous sometimes because I'm like, what if they hate it?
I totally agree with you. I know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna decide that they were wrong, that this is crap. And it's all going to fade away into the dream that I know this is. Yeah,
right.
I'm with you.
And that's it. Yeah, it's
yeah,
no fun.
It's all over.
And then we sit there and we go, oh, God, I can't wait to write the next one and do this miserable journey all over again. But it's that feeling of I really want to tell the story. And it's the storytelling, I think, is what really motivates me. Is it the same with you?
It is. It is. I mean, there's nothing quite like the feeling of when you're actually immersed in the story as you write it. You know, it's almost like I try to explain it to like people. It's like I'm living a double life. So I'm living the life that my characters are living. I'm in that story. I'm feeling it. I'm, you know, like I'll be like finishing a really sad scene or whatever, and then I'm depressed for like a few days and have no idea why. And it's because I'm like, you know, this other person who just had her heart broken, you know, or whatever. And so I there's nothing quite like that. I love that part of it. I love that. It's like a drug, you know, that we chase. And it definitely keeps me going because I love that. I love to be able to do that.
Well, and it's also, it's interesting because you're right. You know, you kind of have to be in the zone. And I remember years ago being at a talk, and Sandy Blair, she's a lovely, wonderful historical romance author. And her comment was, if you don't feel the emotion that the characters are feeling when you're writing it, your readers won't feel it either. So there definitely have been times that I've said, okay, don't come in the office. I have to write this particular scene. And one was particularly sad. It was a death scene. Somebody was in hospice. And sure enough, everybody needed me every 5 minutes. And it was even the dog was like trying to push the door open. And my to the office, and my husband walked in. He's like, hey, what is it? And I'm just sobbing. And he says, what is wrong with you? I said, get out. I'm trying to write something. But it's that same thing, like you're talking about, feeling that sadness because that's what your characters are feeling. And, you're right. It is a drug. It's a journey for sure. So if you're just now tuning into Readers Entertainment Radio, we are talking to best-selling author. I'm so excited to be able to put that with you. Nagin, and she's talking about her newest book she's about to tell us about, Forbidden by Destiny. So tell us about the book 2 of your series of Forbidden Love.
So Forbidden by Destiny is, for anyone who's read Faith will know that it's Layla's story. Layla is Sada's best friend. And so she will have her own trials and tribulations when she falls in love. And we're having another character make another appearance because everyone loved Ben. So Ben will be in book 2, and this is Layla and Ben's story.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
so it's
Ben
their
is
journey and having to deal with that. Ben is
And Ben is who?
This is the triangle. Ben,
yes.
So Ben was with Sada in book 1, and there was a period where they were together and it was very serious. And so, you know, he was part of that love triangle. But, you know, I have people, readers split down the middle between Team Ben and Team Mazdar, so I thought he had to come back. So he's in book 2.
Don't you love that when people fall in love with your characters?
I absolutely do. I really, really do love that.
Were you surprised at the reaction?
I loved both of the guys in that book. So I kind of wanted people to love them. And I was actually really happy that people did, because I really did love both those characters.
Was there a point in the story that you're saying it was more Team Ben than Team Mazdar?
I try to anyway, kind of have the tide shift as you read the story, where people right. start to jump onto the Team Ben bandwagon. I wanted that to happen because I love books that make me put me into this like emotional conundrum where I'm pulled in different directions and I don't know who I love more and what I want to happen. And I really like that when I read my own story, like other stories. And so I wanted that. So I did try really hard to at one point kind of turn everyone into a Team Benner for a bit. Yeah, in the middle of that book, that's kind of where everyone started jumping on his bandwagon because he's awesome.
Yes, he is. And, you know, and it's fun because you had it on Twitter and you had a post about, you know, which one are you? And it was interesting to see some people's reactions, and you had lovely, lovely pictures there to make us pick, which was terrible. And, you know, the general reaction is, please don't make me choose.
Yeah.
and that's always fun because you can certainly, you know, have it. It adds, I think, another layer. And as much as we are frustrated by social media, I think it certainly adds an extra layer for readers and writers to communicate. It's like, this is what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? And that back and forth. I think it paints another layer of pictures for both of us to see. What has been your response? For people responding to your books, what has been the general response there?
It's actually been very supportive. You know, the readers, I've had readers that I always think it's amazing when people that I don't know reach out to me, you know. It's one thing to have your friends and family tell you it's great and, you know, really love the story. And I think they genuinely do. But they're still your family and friends. So there's always a part of you that's kind of like, is it just because I wrote it, you know, and you just love
right.
me, as a, you know, and then so you love my writing. But it's really something else to have people I don't know become these diehard fans and like message me and ask me and beg me for the next book and tell me when is it coming out. I mean, just it's amazing. It's amazing to have that happen. So I've been lucky to have a lot of support in that way from people, from readers. And so that's one of my favorite things. I think it's amazing.
So when you've had readers reach out to you, have you had readers reach out and say, you know, I'm Muslim and my spouse or my boyfriend, girlfriend is Jewish and we're navigating the same thing. Thank you for writing. Or, you know, what has been that kind of response in regards to the theme of the book?
You know, I haven't had anyone specifically be in that particular situation.
Okay.
Out to me. I've had people refer it to other people because they're in those situations, but and I've heard
oh, wow.
through that person like, "Oh, I told so and so to read this because it's totally their life." But I haven't had those people reach out to me. It's more, you know, I have a lot of Iranian or Middle Eastern readers who reach out to me, and they just identify with the cultural aspect and the, like, familial obligations and kind of just being in that space where you have to constantly choose and are constantly influenced by what's expected of you and what your family wants and what they're okay with, you know, and how there's that added layer to all the decisions that we make because that's just the way that we were raised and it's kind of like what we live in. And so I've had a lot of people identify with that theme of the story.
Right. Well, yeah, and family obligation is always huge. You know, you want to make everyone happy. Mm-hmm. You want everyone to get along. But sometimes your heart loves who you love. So and I'm sure that's a hard theme for a lot of people. So now you've got book two. It came out the 19th of this month. And so what is next for you? What is coming up next for you?
So book three, Forbidden by Time, will actually be coming out in the next few months. It is done.
Okay.
And it is now going down the pipeline. Yeah, my editor, we just did content edits, and it's going into copy edits. So once copy edits are done, then I will have a better idea as to when we're launching. But I wrote them back to back. My publishers wanted them to release back to back. So I haven't stopped writing. It feels like for a year now. So that's what's next. That's coming up next. And I'm starting to come up with ideas for possibly doing a fourth in the series or just another maybe starting off a different spinoff series. So I haven't decided yet. I'm kind of taking a mental break.
Sure. Do you have readers that have written to you about characters that you didn't consider putting in having your own stories?
You know, I actually, I've had people want me to put, so book three, Time, is Dory, which is Mazyar's sister. And that was one character that people kept telling me, oh my gosh, she needs to have her own book. I need her to, you know, I need to know what's going to happen with her. I need to see her story. And so that's really actually what influenced me to make Time about her. I have some of the betas and stuff that read book two, you know, prior to it actually being published. There's a character in that one, which is Layla's sister, which I've had some readers say they would love to see her story. So, you know, I don't have that story yet, but I'm working on it.
It's really interesting when you write your stories, and I would have someone come up to me and say, oh, I loved it, which is lovely. And they'd say, what about so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And I'd say, I don't know. That wasn't anybody I had considered giving a story to. But for some reason, that character spoke to them. And I remember one lady saying, well, you have to write a story about her. You can't just leave her there. I thought, okay. Put that on my list of things to do. Yeah. It's funny how people get wrapped up in it. And, you know, we've all done this with books we've read growing up. What were some of the books that you read growing up that you just got totally involved with?
Oh my gosh, my absolute favorite, and I know I'm going to mess this title up because I always switch the words around, the Judy Blume one, Dear God, It's Me, Margaret.
Uh-huh.
Or is it?
Yeah.
Dear God, it's me,
Margaret.
Yeah. My favorite. I can't even tell you how many times. I think I read it like 20 times when I was growing up. I just kept reading it over and over. My favorite. That was one of my favorite books growing up. It was really great.
Did you read any of her others? I think one of the first books I read of Judy Blume was The Tale of a Fourth Grade Nothing was the first one.
Oh, man. You know what? I think I did read that. I think, and then I also read all the Ramona books that she had. And then, you know, but then the Margaret one when we were a little bit older, right? I think Margaret when I was like 12, maybe, you know? And
right,
it was so
right.
relevant for me at the time. Yeah.
What's fun about Judy Blume is she is actually doing, if you've done Master, there's a series called Masterclass.
Yeah, I've actually watched her Masterclass. Yeah, I've actually watched it.
Yeah. Isn't it fun to see her face and to hear her voice? And
it really is, yeah. And to, like, hear where her stories came from and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was definitely fun to watch.
So when you're out and about watching, you know, just do you grab things from the world around you and put it in your stories?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel as though I'm constantly, it's a joke now when I'm around people and they're saying stuff and I'm looking at them and they're like, uh-oh. And I'm just like, I could write the crap out of that. You know?
Right.
And I'll be
right.
I totally do that. I'm like, nobody is safe. Nobody is safe.
Nobody. I know there was this scene one time I was writing. Oh, there was a scene one time I was writing in a coffee shop, and I was just not coming up with anything exciting to, you know, for the baristas to yell out. And so I just went down to Starbucks one day and sat there for 2 hours and just wrote down every single order they called out. And it was stuff I couldn't even have come up with on my own. It's interesting what people order. And like you're saying, I mean, if you're a dentist and people, it's a little bit of a confession, you know, to be in the chair and to tell you all these things. I'm sure there's just all sorts of stories floating out there for you to grab.
There really is. There really is. Sometimes it's like, you know, when they talk about being at like a hair salon and, you know,
mm-hmm.
how everyone talks about their life, it happens in the dental chair too. You'd be surprised.
So do you have, other than your third book that's coming out, and you said you might do a fourth, but you also might do a spinoff or something different. What are you thinking about? What would you like to write?
You mean like actually the theme or just what genre am I trying to, I still want to stay in the romance, but my romances are very like borderline women's fiction. So I like that place. It's quite comfortable. I do have a story that for the fourth book, which I haven't even pitched to my publisher, so it may not even happen. But I do have a story for Layla's sister that I'm putting together. about her meeting someone, but meeting him actually in Iran. He doesn't live there. She doesn't live there, but they happen to cross paths there. And
okay.
Yeah, and so I just like to weave a lot of the cultural stuff in if I can. And so I haven't visited that aspect of it yet. So I kind of think I want to weave something like that into the next story.
Okay. And then if you do something completely different, what genre-wise or just story-wise, what were you wanting to write?
It's still going to be romance.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have an idea about a doctor falling in love with a musician. I kind of have this whole story going on in my head about that, which I really think would be fun to write. So I might do something in that arena. I'm not really sure. You know, I'm in that beginning phase of where my brain is still really tired coming off of these other books and trying to figure out where I'm going to jump into next.
Yeah, it's definitely a process for sure. So tell me, what is on the schedule for you for this year for events or conferences?
Actually, I don't have very many going on right now. I am going to go to New York for a writer's retreat that my publishing house is doing in the summer. And I'm still deciding on whether I'm actually going to go to the RWA or not. So I have that possibility happening. I have a girlfriend who's trying to convince me into going to Moonlight Magnolia, which is a convention out in October. Yeah, which I heard is really great. So I have a few things out that people are like trying to, you know, talk to me about and get me to go to, but I haven't quite, you know, decided on what I'm doing just yet.
Right. Well, but you're very busy because you've got your kids, you've got your dental practice, and you're writing books and possibly another series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got a lot, you know, on your plate for sure.
I have a lot going on. I do have an event tomorrow night, actually, at a synagogue that's local that they have multiple book clubs. And one of my girlfriends is in one of them and suggested Faith. And now all the book clubs are getting together tomorrow night. And I'm going to be there with them presenting there, and that's cool. I'm really excited about that. And through that one, I got another women's retreat that's happening in March for the synagogue, but like a different one, and I'm going to be showing up there as well. So I have those going on as well.
So all these things that came with just wanting to write a story, it never ends. Huh?
Right. It's the best part though. I love it.
Yes, hearing people talk to you about your characters in your books and just in general. I find that a lot of people are just generally curious about the process of it all.
Yeah, they are, actually. They really are. I have a lot of readers that will ask me just general questions about being a writer because they're just fascinated by the whole thing. And so, yeah, a lot of people really are actually interested in that.
And usually pretty gracious.
Yes. Absolutely.
So we have about a minute and a half left. So I wanted to say thank you so, so much for being here today. And
thank
if
you
are, of course, and please keep us posted on your newest book. I'm going to write it down. I'm phonetically writing it down now. Tell me how to say your last name again.
Poppin. Think of Mary Poppins. Just drop the S.
That's right. That's what you told me, right? Like Poppin.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to do that H in there. I should know better. I shouldn't need to do the H. But thank you, Miss Nagin Poppin, for coming in today. Her book, Forbidden by Destiny, is released now. Her first book and the first book of the series, Forbidden Love, is Forbidden by Faith. Please check both of them out. They're on where you can buy ebooks. You can also find her on her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All of those links are up in the write-up of the story today. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we wish you good luck for your newest book, and we will talk to you very soon.
Okay, great. Thank you. It was fabulous talking to you.
Absolutely. Everybody, go out there and keep reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.